This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, no mai, haere mai, welcome to Help on Arrow FM. I am your host, Abby.
And I'm her husband, her husband, Michael. It has literally been a little bit of a break, that's
why. It has been a break. We took a lovely 2 months, really, off doing the show so that we could focus on whānau and holiday and relax and rest, so...
Now get back in the swing of it and muddle words up straight away.
Right from the get-go.
That's right.
If you're new to listening to us speak on this show called Help, we are not your frequently asked questions for the radio station, Arrow FM. Help is a space where we talk about parental needs, the conversations we wish we knew before we found ourselves in this position, topics that we think could do with a little bit more light shed on it, things that we want to normalize, you know, just get it out there. And this is comes from our experience of fumbling our way through parenthood and realizing that there are similar challenges or topics or issues that other parents have faced. And we just find ourselves saying, man, we wish we talked about this more often.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you come to those common situations where, you know, even if it's not exactly the same situation between person to person or time to time, but still the whole theme of it as to where it comes from is very, very similar. So it's like, yeah, it'd be helpful to know how to overcome this.
Help is linked into the Ruth Project Wairarapa, which is a charity that I co-founded and I currently run here in the Wairarapa, and it is for parents that are struggling with perinatal mental distress. Perinatal being when you are hapū pregnant all the way through to when pepe or tamariki children are about the age of 2. And so we work specifically with mum and dad or both parents to strengthen their mental well-being through in-home support, workshops, courses, support groups, whatever we can offer, we'll try to meet that need. So that's a little plug there for the Ruth Project. And so this is Help is linked into there.
Excellent.
Okay. So should we just get into it?
As well.
We decided this year that we would do a little bit of a theme for each month. When I say we, I decided, and then I have just shared that with Michael to let him know.
Oh, you rely on me for the technical expertise of...
I do.
And you...
and you rely on me to prepare the program.
Pretty much. It's a seamless pair.
Seamless pair. That was weird.
Well, yeah. That's why I stopped.
All right, so this month's theme, the unspoken side of parental mental health. Probably should have put this one on like a mental health awareness week, but anyway, awareness month.
Yeah, but it's unspoken, so do we speak about it now?
Yeah, we speak about that. And this week's topic is parental burnout. This is a topic that we have actually chatted about quite a few times. But we always have said that it's such a big topic, it's worth revisiting quite a few times.
Yeah.
So, parental burnout and how to recognize it and what to do. That is today's theme. So my first question for you, Michael.
Yes.
Is why does this matter?
this matters a lot. So my... thoughts on why this matters a lot is because it's actually something that is quite experienced quite frequently by parents, not just in terms of all parents probably experiencing this at least once, but it can quite often be a repeat offence for it goes across pretty much. Almost anyone who's a parent has probably experienced this, and then there are definitely a large portion of parents that will experience this multiple times, especially if one, you're not aware of it, or two, you don't actually put anything in place to kind of mitigate getting to that point of parental burnout. So that's why I think it's really important to why we're talking about it. I forgot your question. Why does it matter? That's why it matters, because it's experienced by a lot of people.
It is. So just a quick disclaimer before we carry on into the nuts and bolts of the conversation for today. This show is not about medical advice, but it's rather a place of discussion, and it's based on research and also on our personal experience. So you might listen and hear and think, you guys are a bit off the mark, and that's okay. We are human and we don't have it all right, but more than happy to have a kōrero with you if we ever say something that you think, man, I would really love to kind of set them right in their thinking there. So you can find our email through the Arrow FM website, or you could ring the lovely team here and they will get you in contact with us. And we come on the show with us and we can have that conversation together on the show, as long as it's wholesome. So that's just the little disclaimer there. So first off, what is parental burnout? Parental burnout is a state of physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion caused by prolonged parenting stress. It can lead to feelings of detachment, emotional numbness, and even resentment toward parenting responsibilities.
Yep, that's very well summed up. And I think hands up, parents who've experienced that so far.
There's only us two in the room. Okay, both hands go up. Because we've had this conversation before. What's the difference between, you know, burnout, because we all experience burnout,
and
parental burnout? Why do we have to have a specific name for parental burnout? And I think that's where this definition's really good, where it's saying that it is the effect that's been prolonged because of parenting stress.
Yeah.
And that when you look at that, then you start narrowing in of, okay, where is the stress in parenting here?
I think what was important was that, because it's related to parenting specifically, the thing we talk about with this is often because you have those dependents, it's very hard to not be in that environment, because you've got to be with those kids.
Yeah.
But then one other thing I was just thinking about as you're talking is, it's also the impact of you being burnt out is actually affects your dependence as well. The double-edged sword there, where you're, because of parenting you get to that point, but because of also your parent, the impacts also then affect not just you. So that's why I think it's very important that, although there is just general burnout, which is very similar, parental burnout, there is some other aspects that we need to consider and be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so difference between stress and burnout. Stress is temporary and usually improves with rest. Burnout is chronic and leads to emotional withdrawal. I think it's always good to know the difference between words, because then we can apply it a bit more appropriately. And, you know, if someone's like, oh, I'm so burnt out, being able to say, are you burnt out or are you stressed? Because depending on which one it is, you're going to come up with a different coping strategy or management plan on how to get back on track. Yeah. So with stress, because it's often temporary and it can come and go very quickly, it can improve over rest. You know, you can have a stressful day and then come home and have rest and you're feeling great the next day. Whereas burnout, it's chronic and it keeps building and it keeps leading to a place where you aren't coping and you are withdrawing from yourself and from the people around you, from your children. So it's going to require a different type of care and support in order to heal from burnout.
Yeah. And often quite a lot longer process to get yourself back from the burnout space. Because stress will often lead to burnout, or can. Unchecked stress will lead to burnout.
Or like it said, prolonged parenting stress.
Yeah.
You know, if you're constantly under stress, eventually you're going to give out.
Yeah. I think when you're burnt out, it's also, it can sometimes be quite hard to rest as well, just with how, where you end up getting to, that the rest you do get is not actually rest. It's broken. It's a lot of other things going on, which is why you can't just be like, I'll just go have a sleep or a rest and I'll be fine, because it's actually, that process is then also broken for a lot of people.
So there's a study from the Journal of Child and Family Studies 2021, and it found that 60% of parents report symptoms of burnout at some point.
60%. Is that like I don't know how much I've studied, but is that like just reported by themselves?
That's a good question.
Actually, okay.
I'm going to have to find the link for that report again.
Yeah. Just chuck it in there.
Well, since it's from the Journal of Child and Family Studies, we can look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's found that 60% of parents reported symptoms of burnout at some point. Yes, so the parents have reported it themselves.
Okay.
Obviously, with the study that they did.
Yeah.
For the Journal of Child and Family Studies.
Right.
And then Dr. Isabella Roskam and Dr. Moira Mikulajevic. These names are really difficult.
Dr. Nicola.
The University of Leuven found that parental burnout leads to increased anxiety and even negative interactions with children.
Yeah. No, I can fully see that.
It's interesting, eh? Because, especially in that parenting thing, like, you know, I think about some people that we know that are going through a tough time in their life at the moment. And, you know, talking about this makes me wonder whether one of those people had experienced burnout, never dealt with it, and now it's got to the point where it's just so far gone that there's these negative behaviours towards the people around them and the children, and it seems like this, you know, they're crossing into a line of very selfish behaviours. But it makes me wonder, was this triggered from a place of intense burnout from the way that the life was being led?
Yeah.
You know, like, because there's always that question of, why is this person now behaving this way?
Yeah.
Why is this person, you know, doing these things and when it wasn't them before? And then it makes, you know, in that parenting space wonder, oh, did this person actually experience burnout? And by the time they realized that this is where they were, it was too late. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Well, it absolutely does, because I think it's that old saying of the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, it is often, because it's prolonged, like the stress that's prolonged will lead to burnout, but then you're talking about burnout being prolonged and just surviving and being in survival mode, get to the point where just one final thing happens, and it could be something quite small, could be something that doesn't actually matter that much. And because all your, especially in those places of burnout, I know for me personally, like my patience is just not there.
Yeah.
And that's why then it becomes very easy to just quickly snap, because you, it's that whole thing of if I do this real quickly, then I can resolve it really quickly. And that, so that's the whole tolerance and your whole emotionals are just not there. So then having that prolonged that burnout to then finally snapping in a place where, you know, like in the situation talking about, the decisions that are made, you're just basically living in this place of chaos. But then you've got to try to backtrack why. And you've probably got to go back so far that it's really hard to figure out how to get back on track. And it's actually, so I can understand what you're saying 100%. And it's just quite plausible that that's what's happened in the life.
Because it's just those things of, like, it can, you know, when it was talking before about the definition, leading to feelings of detachment, emotional numbness, resentment towards parenting responsibilities. you know, and resentment towards, I think we can add in there that sometimes when you're in burnout, there's a resentment to the other partner because you're like, I just want you to do everything. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I just want to rest. I don't want a bar of it. And I know when I'm in burnout, when I've been in those places, noise.
Yeah.
Like the moment the kids argue or just be normal kids, they're not being naughty, nothing. It's just, I'm like, I'm out, I'm done, see you.
Yeah. It's like when they're, because at times, like, it's also when I do the dishes and you can just hear them, like, plates just hitting each other. So kids are actually doing something helpful, but it's like that noise for you.
Yeah, it's stress.
It's just...
It's stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can see that.
Yeah. Okay, so signs of parental burnout. We've got emotional exhaustion.
Yep.
Feeling drained and overwhelmed.
Yep.
Depersonalization, becoming emotionally distant from children.
Mm-hmm.
Loss of fulfillment, no longer enjoying parenting.
Yep.
Physical symptoms, headaches, fatigue, insomnia. Behavioural changes, increased irritability, withdrawal or using unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
And you can see how burnout is very different to being stressed.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really good. I like that list that you've gone through, and it's really good because in reality, it's not always going to be the person who's in the burnout space that's going to be able to recognize it, because it's not necessarily easy to think rationally or think about themselves critically in those spaces. So that's why I like the list, because it's generally going to be the person alongside them that's going to notice, hey, actually, you know, these things are starting to stack up as to that change. I think why else it's so important that we have this good list there is because it's also, especially for like first-time parents, because of all the change that happen anywhere with the dynamics, and I know this is something that we walk through, is that because of all the change that happened with just having a baby, I had no kind of normal. So I was trying to understand my normal, a new normal for the family.
Yeah.
But then also... like trying to figure out the normal, but then if the person is also going down this route or has burnt out, you don't want to replicate your normal as a burnt out. So it's nice to have kind of those symptoms and signs there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, and this is a really good list too. And what we talk about here in the show, we actually put up on our website, on our blog spot. Can't remember what it's called, Blogger, The Ruth Project. Why? Anyway, we can share it on our social media and et cetera. But we turn this into a blog, like a written blog, what we've talked about, with all the notes and the research points and all of that in there, so that if you want this list so that you can refer back to it, it'll be up there.
Yeah.
So some research insight around that. A study in BMC Psychology for 2022 found that parents experiencing burnout often feel trapped in a cycle of exhaustion, leading to negative self-perception.
Right. Yeah, because it's a whole thing. I guess you're beating yourself up. Like
thinking that you're a terrible parent. You know,
because
you don't want to feel these feelings towards your children or your partner or whoever.
No, you don't.
But you also don't want to be this way anymore.
Yeah.
And so you start thinking, oh, I'm the problem.
Yeah. And I think especially, with 100%, like you feel like you're the problem, especially with what we talked about before, where, you know, in those times you don't have the patience or tolerance, so then you kind of snap or you do behave in a way you know it's not good, which you then reflect on probably like 20 minutes later, and you feel bad about the fact that you've done that, so then you just end up still on that merry-go-round, going around and around constantly in that space and not getting yourself out of it.
Yeah. So what are causes of parental burnout? We've got high societal expectations. Parents feel pressure to be perfect. And we've talked about this a few times last year in different topics, particularly the influence that social media has on parents. It's very easy to fall into that trap of feeling like, oh, our house should look this way, or we should try this parenting style, or we should do this with our kids, or, you know, because of the comparison wheel and society's collective pressures of what they think you should be and how you should look. And not just social media. I remember when we had Lucy, there was the advice from the professionals. And it depends on what's the hot topic at that time as to what the professionals are suggesting to you. So at that time, it was sleep training, sleep training, sleep training, routine, 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 be strict, strict, strict with babies. And I felt that, okay, this is obviously what the research is showing that babies need. I didn't know any better, but it was horrible. I did not like sleep training. It did more damage to me, and I don't know about Lucy, but it did more damage to me than it did, you know, be helpful in those early days. And then you go through and you realize there are different ways to parenting, and sleep training's actually not that great for all children. Some children will naturally fall into it and be okay with it, but then some kids aren't wired for sleep training, and so it's looking at sleep from a different way. But then with the health professionals, they change, and it's so like, oh, sleep training's not the way to go now at all. And so then you're like, well, you said that it was, and now you're saying that it's not. Where's the middle ground here? And so my opinion is not that sleep training's bad. I don't have anything against it, but I also don't think it's the only way. I think there's many different things that you can do, because it depends, one, on your baby and their personality and what their needs are. Secondly, on your family dynamic, on how you want your family to be, what you vision that family space to work like, whether you're a routine family, whether you're not a routine family. And so it can be very pressured when you've got health professionals coming at you with the latest research of what you should be doing. And you naturally think, oh, well, because they're professionals, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, such an interesting topic, like, way of looking at it. Because there's that added pressure where, especially with the first time parents, you're trying to build confidence as well, which is why you just naturally fall into what professionals say. Because unless you have gone and done stuff and know and are a confident person, it's very easy to be like incompetent with your child. Because, I mean, let's be honest. So how many first time parents are just have no clue what they're doing?
Oh, I mean, not even first-time parents, third-time parents, you know, third-time, when we had our youngest, third baby, completely different child.
True. Yeah.
We're still clueless with him at times, you know, like, the reality is you don't have it figured out at any point.
No.
So, okay, so societal expectations.
It's a big one.
That's a big one. Again, that's a topic we could go on about for ages.
Yeah.
Lack of support. So single parents or those without a strong community face higher burnout rates. I'm also going to say, with the lack of support, when you've got support, but they could be critical support.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about, you know, the classic in-law situation where you've got, you know, in-laws or extended family that are constantly criticizing or telling you how you should be or what you should be doing, or friends or whoever. It doesn't have to be in-laws. But so you might have the physical there, but you don't have that emotional or mental or parental support.
Yeah.
'Cause I think that's really important as well, is having community that support your way of parenting.
Yeah. So it's that right support. I think that's probably the best way of saying it, is having the right support in place.
Work-life imbalance, juggling careers and parenting increases stress.
Yep.
Personal expectations, parents often push themselves too hard. Then we've got cultural perspectives. So in Te Ao Māori, you will hear a lot about Te Ao Māori within our kōrero, because I am Māori, and it's something that I, learning Te Ao Māori and our way of living is a new thing. So you are going to hear that with me as we grow in that space. But in Te Ao Māori, whānau, so extended family, traditionally play a strong role in raising children, which reduces the risk of burnout by ensuring shared responsibilities. In Western models of parenting, we often focus on individual responsibility, which can then increase pressure on parents.
Yeah.
And I can actually see how that definitely played a role in our life when we started out parenting. I remember when we were having Lucy, I was very much, nope, it's you and me.
Yeah.
We are the parents. We don't need anyone else in the delivery room with us. It's just you and I. We will do this together. We will parent together. We'll put boundaries up with everybody else, and it's just going to be us because we are the parents. It's our responsibility. And that was just a natural, I guess, Western way of doing things.
Yeah, I think it's that whole learnt behaviour from the cultural influence of those days, because it's the, you know, you're the you're your unit. You stand on your own two feet.
Yes.
And that's it.
You know, this is your family now. You've separated from here. So you now need to go the whole cleave and leave.
Yep.
From, and, you know, a Christian perspective, we both grew up in Western traditional Christian influence. And it was you cleave and leave. You leave your family and you do your own family. And you just, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. But as we went on in our parenting, I obviously got very unwell in my mental health, and we found that we needed people, and that was one of the biggest things that we were struggling with, was the amount of boundaries we put up with people of needing to be this individual family, that we actually got to a point where those boundaries all came down and we just said, we need help, we need people, when we need community. And so that shifted for us quite dramatically. And when we had the two boys, they were both home births. We had my mum there for both of them and a different sister-in-law each one. And so Michael, most importantly, wasn't on his own, because when I'm giving birth, I'm very much in my own bubble. Don't talk to me, just leave me. So that's quite lonely for Michael. But when we had our home births, he's got mum fussing over him. They're making him cups of tea. He's able to watch TV. He's got company. So it's not this isolating event for him.
I was directly helping you as well. Just so everyone knows, I wasn't just kind of off to the side watching TV, having teas and stuff. I was aiding you in what you needed.
Yeah, I was thinking about the times where I didn't want you near me. And I was like, just leave me alone. Let me figure this out on my own. I'm not ready for you.
Yeah.
The mums who are like me will get it. They'll be like, we get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cultural perspectives definitely play into some of that stress and how we do our family. Okay, some research insight for this point. A study in Frontiers in Psychology 2020 found that parents in collectivist cultures, such as Māori and Pacific cultures, experience lower burnout due to stronger community support networks.
Yeah. And like, you see that when you embrace, if you go into a Pacifica family or group or event or the, in other words, because we had that with our wedding recently, where one of the groom was Samoan, and you just see.
He is Samoan. He didn't change.
Yeah, sorry. Was. He is Samoan.
He is Samoan.
So, and you just see that, because it's not just in the raising the kids, but the way they do the celebration, it is very community and family orientated as well. And so you can just quite easily see how that goes, and it's just some of the real benefits that brings as well.
I think that was something I noticed at the wedding quite a bit, was the genuine care that the men had for the women around them. And just making sure they were okay, and the kids as well, was they were always checking in. Are you guys okay? Do you need anything? I mean, even the groomsmen, when we, you know, they were so attentive to us for the day, like, oh, you know, are you girls okay? Do you need anything? They sorted any problems out that there were. And when we got changed into our pulutasi to do our siva, they're like, oh my gosh, you girls are beautiful. And there was nothing awkward about it. It was very genuine and supportive and encouraging and loving. And it filled that whole room, that sense of community and family and care. And it was just, it was lovely, to be a part of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so how to overcome parental burnout. Self-compassion. So letting go of perfectionism and acknowledging that no parent is perfect.
Yeah.
building support systems, leaning on family, friends, and community, e.g. the Ruth Project. Yeah. But actually, you know, talking about what we've got in the community, there's the Ruth Project for perinatal mental health support. There's Hawkeye Tahi, who support parents who are going through difficult pregnancies or baby loss. We've got the POPS, which is Pepe Order Parenting Support. So that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Masterton and Featherston, where parents can come and they get that parenting support, practical support that they need. There's multiple play groups, play centre, mainly music. There's all these things in our community that you can go along to and network and connect. They've got Space, which is another parenting program, Circle of Security. There's so many things in our community. Plunkett do their parenting courses. So many places in our community and organisations that have a heart to support parents in these early years. So we definitely have a community that you can lean on there.
Yeah.
And not being afraid to ask for help. That was my hurdle, was I felt like I would be a burden. But you really have to get over that feeling and realise that the people who want to help really want to help. And
yeah,
and it's okay to lean into that and rest in that space.
Yeah. And sometimes it's you're going to be the person you're with that will need to ask for help at times. And I think so, if you are listening to this and you realise that maybe your partner is the one who's actually experiencing this, actually being the one to say, hey, I'm going to find you this. Mm. I'm going to be the one who's going to help you, because we know what it's like to be in that space, and that it can actually be really difficult to ask for that help.
Yeah.
So even when you get to the point where someone's offering it, to actually accept it. So it can be a little bit of a tough love where you need to get them there, and then things will bloom. So I think this is really important to understand that as well from someone who's been a supportive person as well.
Yeah. So practical self-care, sleep, nutrition, and realistic expectations.
Yeah.
So not as in, I'm going to get, 11 hours of sleep a night. That might not be realistic when you've got a newborn, but it's making sure that when you do sleep, that it is quality sleep. It's not going to sleep with the phone. It's, making sure that you've got that sleep hygiene of a good calm space that you can rest in and sleep and allow your body to replenish itself while it's sleeping. Nutrition, do you need to cut everything out, or is it just simply understanding your body and how it works, or what you can, what isn't so healthy for you, what is healthy for you, and just changing it up. And even going to the gym and working out, what are your realistic weight loss goals? Now, there are some really great places, again, in our community that you can go to for help with this. There's the gym, Strength Nation Gym. I would definitely recommend going to Strength Nation or any of the gyms. You're going to have personal trainers there that you can talk to about it. Strength Nation have got classes that you can do that focus on fitness and strength. And I really rate this for mums. They have mum fit classes, and they're designed specifically for you, especially after having children, so that you're safely getting your body back into functioning and moving. Because obviously when you've just had a baby, you need to be aware that you can't necessarily go doing stuff that you haven't done for a while. So they're a great resource there for mums. There's also in the Hub, I don't know if it's called the Hub now, Back in Action, they have got physiotherapists there that specialise in pelvic health for women. And again, when were we ever talked about taking care of our pelvic health after having children? That was...
I wasn't. I don't know if I looked after my one.
No, well, mums, I recommend it. They've got trained people there, and they're really up to play with around your pelvic health after having children. Then you've got, personal trainers. There's a beautiful one that I was with for a time, Rosie. She's amazing, and she works on nutrition and your physical body, but she also works on your full package that you're okay, and she'll track and work with you. I've just seen actually in an email from the Masterton Medical that Dr. Rubin there is starting to offer teaching workshops and courses around this topic on sleep and nutrition and your body and your metabolism and your gut health. I was reading it in the email today, and it's actually not too badly priced. Would be definitely worth looking into. So I was going to see if I can promote that up on our Facebook page, and I might even, yeah, we might be able to put that up somewhere. Because I was like, that's awesome. So you can go to Marsden Medical Center, and it's about living well and living a balanced life. So again, there are so many places within our community that are full with passionate people that want to help us be the best version of ourselves. So again, if you would like to know where some of those places are, just contact us and we will refer you on to some people.
I was just going to say one thing with the, because one of the way you talk, what you're covering there was, you know, that set expectations that are actually realistic.
Yes.
And you touched on it, I mean, you've touched on it quite a bit, but the whole thing that we've been trying to do a lot lately is just listen to your body, because your body knows what it needs, but quite often you don't listen to it because you're like, oh, I just need to get the washing done, I need to do this. And it could be as simple as, actually, your body's telling you need rest today. Yes, you're going to have a whole lot of stuff to do. That's probably going to be there, just it's the nature of our home, a family. But if you can, if you just need rest, just take that rest. It's that to try and take that pressure off you so that you can actually recover. Because a lot of those tasks and chores, they're going to be there. They're going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. They might mountain up a little bit, but they'll still be there.
Mm. Yes. Yes, that they will. okay, so seeking help, talk to a GP, talk to a therapist, talk to a community group, talk to a friend, talk to someone. Talking is what saved my life in the end, was talking. Find someone who will genuinely listen to you and talk to them about what's going on. If it's hard for you to get to a GP or a therapist, find someone who can walk through the door with you, who can ring those people and help make those appointments. But definitely talk. Seek help because it's out there.
Yeah.
This one I love particularly in a Te Ao Māori approach is Te Whare Tapawha. So Mason Dury, he created Te Whare Tapawha wellness model and suggests four areas of well-being. So the idea is you're looking at your four walls of your whare. And if they're not stable, if they're not even, if they're not balanced, then how well is your whare going to stand? So if you're building your house, your home, and the walls aren't balanced with each other, you're not going to have a stable home to live in. And so it's that same type of concept. So the four walls that we look to find balance in is taha tinana. Oh my gosh, my tongue's tied. Tinana. Physical. Prioritising rest and healthy routines, so your physical body. Taha wairua, so your spiritual, finding meaning in the parenting journey. Taha whānau, family, seeking support from extended whānau and also other relationships. Taha hinaro is your mental, so recognising and addressing burnout. I love the Te Whare Tapawha model.
Yeah.
If this is something that you would love to know more about, we will do a workshop this year through the Ruth Project that you can come to and learn more about that for yourself. There's also plenty of places you connect with local iwi. There's Te Hauora, and
you've had a mind blank, haven't you?
I have had a mind blank. Anyway, there are plenty of places that are going to be able to help with this teaching. So,
And I think what's nice about a lot of this is, I think we're having a discussion recently about this, but in the last few years, this model, this thinking, this wellness is coming a lot more common. It's become a lot more accessible and a lot more, I guess, normalized is a word. I don't really like using normalized, but it's a way that's a lot more recognized. And so now there is a lot more resource and teaching about it, which is great because of how beneficial this model is and the organisations that are using it.
Mm.
So it's in a way, like, you actually, especially when you start to engage with the community groups that are out there, how unified a lot of this is, and the approach that they're all taking. And I mean, you guys, all the community groups do actually chat to each other, surprisingly.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Yep. So so I was just saying that it's actually quite great, because now all of a sudden, you jump online, you can find stuff, and you can see how you're going about it.
Yeah. Pepe Order has an actual website for Wider Dapper, and it has it's a resource, and you can look up your needs, and it'll have a whole list of organisations that you can contact with, depending on a specific topic as well. Okay, so studies on Te Whare Tapawhā show that a holistic approach to well-being improves resilience and reduces stress. So we base our work in the Ruth Project on Te Whare Tapawhā.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so there's quite a lot that we've talked about.
Yeah, been good.
What do you reckon the key points for today have been?
I think the key points really are, you know, parental burnout is something that is suffered or experienced by a wide range of people. It's very common.
Mm.
It is that level that's just beyond stress, where it takes quite a bit to recover. And so you actually need to put in place a plan, whether it's you or whether it's your partner or person or whatever, you need to put in a plan to actually get you to recover, because it's not necessarily something that will just recover by itself. You need to have an action plan. I think the points that you pulled out about what parental burnout details, I can remember some of them, like lethargicness, lack of sleep.
Let me go back to those notes. The signs. So we've got emotional exhaustion, feeling drained and overwhelmed, depersonalization, becoming emotionally distant from children, loss of fulfillment, no longer enjoying parenting, physical symptoms, headaches, fatigue, insomnia, behavioral changes, increased irritability, withdrawal, or using unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Yeah. And so those things, just recognizing, okay, this is where we're at, and then just formulating that plan as to how it's going to suit you, your family, the group around you, pulling on the resources around, and using an approach where you can just basically wrap the person experiencing this burnout and the support where they can get to a point where they are in a healthy space.
Yeah.
And the key one, probably the key one for both the person feeling it and supporting, is that communication, talking about it. Yeah, because that's really going to be the pathway towards becoming healthy again.
Yeah. So remember, burnout is common, and there is no shame in asking for help. The sooner you ask for help, the sooner you can recover. Reach out to the Ruth Project. You can find us on Facebook, Google search us. I really need to learn our number off by heart. It's also, my brain's gone already, but and then also other local groups, and we can certainly help connect you to other groups if that's something you're interested in. I just want to close up on a whakatauki. So, he aha te mea nui o te ao. He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. What is the most important thing in the world? It is people, it is people, it is people. I think that's a nice one to remember. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week we are going to carry on this theme that we're in, and it's postnatal depletion.
Awesome.
It's not just baby blues.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that topic.
It'll be a great week. Awesome. Well, I hope you've enjoyed it today.
I have.
It's been great. We wish you a fantastic rest of your
week.
I can
tell that both yours and my brain is like done now. We're so out of practice from talking. This is what happens when you go on holiday.
I know. Hey, I was just trying to do a nice close off.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
And then I just ruined it.
Yeah, we're rusty as.
We're rusty as. Yeah. No. Thank you so much, everyone. We look forward to chatting again with you next week. So until then, take care.
Have a great week.